Does this thing still work?
Check one. Testing. Check.
Yeah, okay. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, kind of. Maybe.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, I got you. So, yeah, here we are. It's week before the Super Bowl. Feel like
We
this
do
is
the
the,
thing?
I guess, if this feels like the right time to do something. So, I'm game if you are.
Yeah. Game on.
Okay, let me I've switched computers since the last time we did this, so let's see if I actually back up everything like I should have.
I haven't, so it might not even work.
Okay, let's see. I've got the files. Does this work? Ah, here it is. Here's the intro. Let's give it a shot.
In a world of uncertainty and despair,
you've been canceled.
Two heroes have reunited when they're needed the most.
Doing it for the money.
Live from the Pals for Life studios, it's the S&M Show. Here are your hosts, Shane Ryan and Mike Bowers.
How was that?
I miss that.
Me too.
I forgot the doing it for the money.
Yeah, all that money that never came through. Well, I guess we did get like $7 out of it, but
right, the sponsorship.
Yeah, well, here we are. Welcome back.
It's good to see you, man. It's good to see you.
You too.
Not that we don't talk quite a bit, but it this hits differently. It hits much differently.
It does. It's like you know, it's just a different experience.
For
it really
sure.
is.
I look forward to like afterwards joking around, like, is it like riding like a bike? Like, do we still have the chemistry, the flow? Oh, it took a little bit to get into it, but let's see how it all pans out. Let the people be the judge.
And you know what's funny is I recently went through the whole diagnosis and treatment process for ADHD, and one of the things that came up, it was like, are there projects that you keep telling yourself you want to do that you just haven't done? I was like, well, I've been talking about doing a podcast for a year and a half, so does that count? And now I can go back and say, hey, progress.
There you
Get
go.
An episode.
There you go. Now, was this like a personal thing, or was it like this for the other thing you're working on?
Oh no, this was personal. This was actually for me.
Good for you.
Let me tell you, Adderall hits, man. It's
I mean, I don't know if I should be saying this. Like, I know it does.
I'm saying from a legal perspective, from a actual prescription perspective, it hits. But I mean,
I'm saying from a 2006 really procrastinating session situation, and got a senior thesis coming up, and yeah, it hits.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody. I'm not going to name them, but they were saying that they had tried it once, and the entire time they were walking down the street, they were like focused on every single tile of the sidewalk, just like step, 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 like zoned in.
Yeah, it's some weird clarity. It wasn't a frequent thing I did. It was like my buddy's like, I was like up against it. My buddy's like, you want to try this? And I did, and I was like, holy God, it was like almost too focused.
Yeah, exactly. So, and by the way, don't take it without a prescription, anybody listening.
Yeah, don't condone that.
We're not
I feel like, you know, what was it? Was the Bradley Cooper movie? Was it Limitless or whatever? Like, mm-hmm. I felt like that was like the most street legal version of that, where you took it and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, here we are. It's been a year and a half, something like that.
I mean, time runs together, or time flies. I mean, I can't even remember what the last one. So it must have been, yeah, it was probably.
I think it was like July or August, because it was the end of the boy band tournament.
Yep. And then like just vacations came up on it. And then the next thing you know, I was in surgery, and it was just, yeah, we never got back to it. And then of course, like I was traveling like a madman in my previous role. So it just never panned out.
Yeah. So you've got a fully repaired shoulder, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So far so good, man. It's weird. Like it was, I mean, the surgery was brutal. If anyone ever gets shoulder surgery, like it's 100% worth it. My shoulder, like, I just didn't realize how bad it was. And it was my dominant arm, which made it even worse. So, like, the thing that came up to it, and we'll go to it later, but, like, as a dad, when you were like, I was trying to throw a ball to my daughter and it hurt and I couldn't do it anymore. I'm like, that's a problem. Like, I'm not young, but my daughter is. So mm-hmm. It's like, I need to be able to do these things the rest of her life, like a basic thing, like throw her a tee ball. So got it fixed. And I think I had like the best possible summer you can imagine. Like I was, you know, we were camping, we were kayaking, we were doing everything. And then the last hurrah was we went to a lake house. Oh, like the week before leading up to my surgery. While I was at the lake house, I had to go to the hospital to get my COVID test to make sure I didn't have COVID for my surgery. And I think by the end of that week from kayaking all week doing it, I couldn't brush my teeth anymore. So like I timed it to like the like exact perfect timing of it. So I had like a great summer, made my shoulder work. But the hood was up. I mean, it was a torn labrum is what the diagnosis was. And then it was partially torn rotator cuff. So they fixed that. And then they fixed some of the bone issue. So while the hood was up, they fixed everything. But yeah, man, if you ever get that surgery, like it's brutal. They tell you like 8 to 12 weeks. It takes every bit of that. And I was like regimented on my PT. Like I did it twice a day, 30 minutes when I was traveling, when I wasn't traveling. Like it was brutal, dude. But yeah, glad I did it. I think the scariest part of it was when I was talking to other folks, and like you walk around and the brace you get for it is pretty noticeable. And like now I see myself doing it to other people where it's like you look at the guy, you do a little head nod and you're like, rotator cuff or labrum, because it's the same thing. It's like this massive like Don Joy like sling, right, with all this padding on it. And like every time I saw a bunch of people in the stores, they were like, yeah, I had mine done like three times. And I ran to my doctor the next day and I was like holy crap. I'm like, how? I probably should have asked you this, like, will this take, right? Like, because this has been the worst experience I've ever had. I do not want to do this again. Like, why are these guys doing it multiple times? What's the likelihood? And the doctor looks at me, he goes, do you know like construction terms? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. He's like, for all intents and purposes, I put rebar on your shoulder. He's like, those are the idiots who don't do the PT and don't listen to their doctors are the ones that have to do it again. He's like, but all intents and purposes, it's stronger than ever. So you should be good to go. But yeah, I'm back to normal. It was a little weird. I played softball over the summer and you can see my progression of my arm strength getting back. It's not, I'm not going to be signed to a major league deal right now anymore. I feel like I lost some MPHs, but for the most part, it feels good. I think the only thing that's a little weird is like when I do like pull-ups or something like that, like it feels like something's in there holding it together. Not like it's going to give out, but there's it feels like I have a little extra in there.
Yeah. Not bad. Just different.
Yeah. But all good, man. I can do it all again. I'm back to normal.
Yeah. Playing with the kid.
Yeah. That's all that matters, right? That's all that matters these days. What about you? I mean, that was my big thing. I mean, other than switching jobs, which, you know, if we want to get into it, we can if we want. Not a big deal. Just not traveling more. But what about you? I know you had some major, major life changes since the last time we talked.
Yeah. We had this whole plan of when the tournament was over, we were going to reveal that I was going to be a dad. And the timing didn't work out because we had to run through some genetic tests and all that and took longer than expected. But
right.
Had our kid, our daughter Olive, in January of last year.
She's beautiful, so she's, by the way.
Yes, thank you. She's adorable. She's already one. So Amanda took roughly 8 months off of work, thanks to a whole bunch of leave saved up. And then I took a month off at the beginning, a month off in May, and then five more months off at the end of the year. So we went through basically the whole first year of her life without having to put her in daycare. And that was just that 5 month window of being off and not having to do anything work related and just focus on her and focus on taking care of myself. It was, man, it was such a life changer, man.
Good for you, man. I mean, that's amazing. And like, I mean, that's also amazing in the sense that like, because of how far you all are from your family, like that was our biggest problem with it, is like, we didn't have a network when we were there. I mean, we had some good friends and, you know, they'll probably listen to this podcast. So shout out to Patrick and Erica. But it was like, I mean, that was like our crew. Other than that, we didn't have a lot of work friends outside of that in DC. None of our family was there. So it was just nutty. And so we were grinding in a tiny apartment that was like the size of like my bedroom that I was paying $500 more than my mortgage is right now. Like, it was just ridiculous living in the city. And it was just for us, it was like we had to literally nickel and dime to get to, I think, what was it, 8 weeks or whatever the limit was that till daycare could take our daughter. Mm-hmm. Steph used all her leave to what it was. I was able to backfill with the extra weeks on my end on the job, but I was working a good time. So like it was when we had Quinn, paternity leave was just becoming a thing. So like Georgetown at the time didn't adopt it. And so it was a crazy, crazy time. So I'm envious that you got to spend that much time and get to figure out your routine, your relationship with your daughter. Like, I'm envious that you had that much time to be able to do that and jump back in, because it was not an option for us by any means.
Oh, we were absolutely hashtag blessed to be able to do that out here, because we're one of the few states in the country that has paid family and medical leave.
Awesome.
And the thing we found out as we were going through the planning for it is most people will take it because, you have your FMLA 12 weeks, but it's unpaid unless you use your own leave. Most people take that concurrently with the state leave, because if you're not getting paid, at least that gives you an option to get most of your pay
right
for that 12 weeks. But we had so much sick and vacation leave banked up because we've worked for the state for 12 years, where they give you the option to take it consecutively. And like I said, most people can't do that because of just the financial piece, but we had so much leave we could supplement.
Well, that's why we couldn't do it. I mean, right. we couldn't even go to the point where we took the FMLA to get us like where we weren't paid. Like, we took up to Steph where she was getting paid, and then I jumped in and I didn't take any time off earlier because I was saving it for the back end. Mm-hmm. Just because like we just could, it was just so damn expensive in like DC, we couldn't make that work.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can only imagine. Yeah, I am. I mean, I was an advocate before that we need actual paid family leave everywhere. And I mean, having experienced it now, absolutely. Because I mean, you just miss out on so many possible formative opportunities if you don't get the time to spend. So very fortunate in that aspect. So here we are a year later, year and a half later, done all that, went back to school for a minute, got licensed as a mental health counselor.
There you go, man. I'm proud of you. I know you and I were talking about this from the time. I mean, for those, this is not us first time reconnecting. Like, we talk probably weekly, daily with our text chain, but proud of you, man. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, it's nice to have options for, if I want to make a pivot in my life. So we'll see where that goes.
There you go.
Yeah. And I guess probably around that time when we stopped too, it was that weird period where we thought the pandemic was kind of over, and then it turned out it wasn't. Then like things reared their head again. But now it seems like, I mean, obviously people argue as to whether the pandemic is over, because I don't, COVID's not going away, but now it's kind of that, like, we're as close to back to normal as we're going to be for a while. And, it seems like we're going to be that way whether we want to be or not. So what's it been like the last year or so?
It'd be weird, so don't judge me. I think we got tired of it, the pandemic side of things. We weren't being careless, but at the same time, it was just up here. It was a lot of upheaval in the New York area. There was a couple election things going on. So there's a lot of politics on it. The shutting down of everything in the state really hurt the area that we were in. So then it was weird because it went from so total restriction to like not even easing off. Like, it went completely the other way where it went back to normal. And then it all kind of came back, and we kind of met in the middle. But I think even like Steph and I, like, we weren't like going out doing anything like really super irresponsible. Like, we weren't going out totally to public places, but like when we weren't allowed to wear masks again, we were stopping to wear masks. We were trying to get back to normal. And then for me, it was super weird because you and I've talked about this, like my previous job, which I was, grateful for, it was a great job, but unfortunately I was a fundraiser for a university. So my role was to get out in front of our donors. and to get in front of our donors and like that, you know, to make that relationship and build it and get to know them and really get major gifts, you have to be in front of them. I mean, some people can do it in Zoom, but it's, if you have an existing relationship, it's easier, but starting new relationships over Zoom, it's so incredibly tough in that industry. So getting in front of them, plus my territory ended up being Florida to Texas. Jesus. And my territory was pretty much Florida and Texas. So like of all the places where I was going, it was just such a weird juxtaposition, right?
Right.
Like I was on like the week I was traveling the week that they repealed the mask mandate on planes in New York. Right. So New York State was a little different because New York State, like, so it was weird. You had to walk in and I still wore it. Like I, when I went to like the different places I was at, if I was around a lot of people, I threw a mask on. When I was on an airplane, you don't know who's next to you. I was throwing a mask on,
right?
But not everybody was doing that. Right. So I was in the airport the day that they got rid of it, I had to fly out. And so they would make you, you had to wear it into the airport, but then no one was enforcing it. So like you had to wear it in the airport, you're supposed to, but you could, if you weren't wearing it, no one was going to say anything to you. The only time they said anything to you is when you scanned your ticket on the plane, right? The person who was at, like, it was American Airlines or Delta. I forget what I was flying that time because I was so mad at American Airlines, was probably Delta. So I'm going down, they're handing masks to people to put on for the jet bridge that when they get on the plane and then they're no longer in like the New York State airport property, they can take it right off. So it was like, you're just wasting masks by handing these off, right? It was ridiculous. So, but then you go down and then like, it just, you act like the places I was at, like none of this ever happened. So it was just a weird, weird thing where my brain was like, what am I doing where I'm at? And like in front of donors, like I got to be as comfortable with them. So like we weren't like hugging or anything, but like I'm not gonna wear a mask in them. I always took their lead and I always asked, you know, do you want me to wear this, do you not? Because some of them, you know, a lot of the donors that I had down there were transplants because they were up in this New York area, so they moved down there, so varying political feelings and various reasons why they moved down to those states. So it was just a very interesting thing where my brain was like living two different lives, because like I, you know, I have my day-to-day life, but then I go down to my work life and I'm like, this is crazy. It's completely different. My mind's blown. Like nothing ever happened down here. So yeah, it was that was probably the weirdest part about it. I mean, other than that, we navigated it. We were okay. We had our jobs, our daycare never shut down. So we were very fortunate in that regard. Each of us all had COVID at least once and we got through it. It wasn't fun, but we got through it. But that was pretty much it. What about you guys?
A lot of the same. I mean, obviously the work's different, so we didn't have that piece, but I think we flew to North Carolina. It might have been right after we finished up with this before, but you know, around the Seattle airport, it was what you expected. You know, a lot of people wearing masks and everything, and it was still required at that point. Got on the plane, same thing, and then you landed in North Carolina, and even in just the airport, it was just like the few people that were wearing it. It was like barely covering their mouth, much less their mouth and nose. And
oh yeah.
Like they would just walk by TSA folks that were just like clearly had no interest in enforcing it, which, you know, to be fair, I get it in the sense of like, if that's, you do that so much and you get abused so much as a result of it, like at some point you probably don't want to have that conversation just because you're so tired of it at that point, right. Regardless of how you feel about it. So that, I mean, that's how it was. And then we ended up not traveling again for, that was probably August. So until the following May after Olive was born. And then ironically, I got it. So I had to fly out later and then join the rest of the family. But I mean, now it's like, we're cautious in the sense of if one of us feels unwell, then we certainly are mindful about who we're around or if we're around anybody, you know, especially with a bunch of friends with kids. Now it's like somebody has a runny nose or a sneezing. It's like, hey, you know, they're not feeling well. Shall we put a pin in this and schedule for another time? So I think that is one of the good things to come out of this, that and remote work and that and things like that, is that,
right,
like you're actually having to have those considerations and communicate, as opposed to like, oh, just tough it out, it'll be fine. Like,
right.
Probably it will be, but you know, in the case that it's not, you don't want to take that risk.
Right.
And you know, of course, Florida is its own beast, and so is Texas still, but
To be honest with you, kindergarten's its own beast. like it's crazy. I mean, even then, like we're joking around about it now because and I understand it from the parent perspective, right? It's tough. Like the rules for COVID and things that were going on were kind of challenging. I mean, for us and I mean for a lot of us, like you got exposed. You then had a quarantine for a while. Like if anyone in your family had it, then you had a quarantine and everybody had to sit there for 10 days and it kind of threw everything on its head. And then like daycare, we got a notice today because like we said, our daughter does wraparound care. So she goes, it's a full day kindergarten. And then she goes to like her wrap care. And so we get notices that, you know, like, hey, we still abide by these policies. You get it. You have to do this. And it's 5 days and it's a huge burden on people. So like, the symptoms you don't know, and you can't really communicate with a younger, you know, kid 6 years. Like all the symptoms are the same. It could be flu. It could be cold. Like I mean, our daughter got the flu and got knocked out this year. Even she got the flu vaccine and she still got tattooed. So it's just like it's crazy to see how that all pans out, plays out, right? But it's just you know, from a parent perspective, I mean, we're fortunate that we have jobs that are flexible, right? So if we have a day, my wife and I can, you know, I'll look at our schedule, who's got the less impactful day, who can stay home, who can work from home, how do we make this work? But like for families who are single parents, especially the district we're in, there's a lot of like, you know, low income apartments that are there that send their kids to the same district that we're in. So like folks like that, like, if they don't work, they don't get paid and people don't have food on their table. So it's so hard that like, you know, if it's just a sniffle and they're not showing like clear signs of having COVID, like you have to send them to school. And so it's crazy like that. The pressure is like we have a lot more flexibility if our daughter's not feeling good, but others may not. So I don't judge anybody for it. But a lot of times you're trying to beat the system. I mean, there's even times when we were trying to beat the system, like 24 hours fever free before you send her back. 22 seems close enough, right? Like, you know, you fudge it because it's huge impact. So I can't imagine those who don't have the ability of having two parents with flexibility. So it's a crazy, crazy time. So I don't fault people for doing it, but it's hard. It's hard, as you know.
Yeah. Like I've said for gosh, almost 3 years now that COVID did not create all these problems. It just exposed a lot of the problems that we already had and made them worse. Right. And I think what you're describing is definitely one of the big ones. So, well, this is not the the smoothest shift, but since we're trying to move on from some things, shall we try and cancel some things?
You can always cancel some things.
All right. Let's see if I still have that sound queued up. And I think I do.
It's that time for Shane and Mike to cancel things that they don't like. Cancel Corner.
Cancel Corner, where we address today's problems with cancel culture by canceling even more things. And unlike the previous times, it is not sponsored by anything because we don't care about that.
It's sponsored by PFL Radio.
Yes. Maybe we'll come back if one of us wins the lottery. All right, so I'm going to start it off by canceling Teslas.
Okay.
Teslas are the worst, and specifically Tesla drivers. And I'm going to preface this by saying I know some people that have Teslas, and they're actually decent people that don't necessarily fit into all these things I'm about to describe. But there's two things that always stand out with Tesla drivers from my experience driving around the Seattle area. Number one.
Okay, lay it on us.
They are horrible drivers. They feel like they have this.
Are you sure they're driving?
Whoever's driving them or the robot, they suck at it. They swerve all over the place. They tailgate you. They make some stupid decisions for lane changes. They'll go across three lanes to take an exit. They just suck. It's like maybe because their car's on autopilot most of the time that the few times that they have to drive, they forget how to do it, but they're just awful. And the other piece is that so many of the ones I've seen around here have these stupid vanity plates that just might as well say, I'm a giant douche. Because like I saw one, the license plate was tech CEO. And then I saw another one that was like gas free. And it's like, it's so annoying. It's like, I drive a Tesla, as if the giant Tesla thing didn't say that. Let me get a license plate that shows you that I drive a Tesla, either because I'm rich or because I'm going to advertise the fact that I don't have to fill up. We get it. You drive a Tesla. You paid like $60,000 for it. Good for you. It's a nice car, but I don't care. So with that, I'm canceling Teslas.
You've been canceled.
All right. You know there was somebody. You know there was somebody who was super mad that they got beat out to be the vanity license plate tech CEO.
Absolutely. Oh, I think I saw I think I saw another one that was like PhD life or something like that. It's like, come on.
They're like they are the car version of CrossFit owners.
Exactly. Perfect. CrossFit for drivers. All right, what you got?
All right, so mine's super recent. So I am canceling Wind Chill and Feels Like.
Oh, this got to be good for up there.
It was brutally, brutally cold on Friday. It was like -1. I'm walking across. I'm learning my new landscape of my new job, and I'm walking from my parking lot. So one of the downsides of like going from like a suburban campus to a city landlocked campus is parking is way less, right? And the tram they have, or the bus they have, or the shuttle, my bad, is not as reliable or as frequent as I would hope. So I'm just grinning and bearing it. Found a wind tunnel. I felt like I had to duck into a building because it felt like literally shards of glass were being blasted into my face. That's how cold it was. I mean, we were looking -1. It was no more than it started out like 5. It was down to like -1, -2. But my problem with this whole thing is the wind chill and feels like, because then they're like, it is actually this degrees, but with the wind chill, it's this degree. So it's negative. It feels like negative, or it feels like that. My problem with this whole thing is if it feels like it, then damn it, it is like that's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's like, well, it's really 1 degree, but it feels like -5. Then in my book, it's friggin' -5 because I'm walking outside. My dog's hating life. My dog's still kicking at 14 years old, almost 15. And she probably prefers to be dead after walking out how cold it was. Like, it's ridiculous to think about this. So that's why I'm canceling Wind Chill and Feels Like. If it is Wind Chill brings it down to this, or it feels like it is actually that temperature, and that's why I'm canceling.
You've been canceled.
Oh man, yeah. Because I mean, really, the only thing that temperature factors in at this point is whether or not things freeze. So if it's, especially if you're at that temperature, everything's frozen. So
including my beers in my fridge, in my garage, my beer fridge in my garage, like all my beers froze. I'm like, I had a lot of good stuff in there that I'm like, it may or may not taste as good anymore. I'm so mad at it,
man.
All frozen. It was ridiculous, dude. And then today, like, of course, global warming. Today it's like 45 degrees and everything's melting. And this was Friday when it was like -1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the many things about Spokane that I don't miss. One of them being that in the wintertime, it could be -10. And in the summertime, it could be 110 and deal with it. And I just, no thanks. So, all right, I'm going to wrap this up by canceling LinkedIn. So LinkedIn served a good purpose at one point. It was where you go to connect with your work colleagues, maybe network for a new job, maybe hire for a new job, depending on, you know, what your deal is. Now, I will admit I don't dabble in LinkedIn as much as I probably should as a seasoned professional. But when I do, I typically notice the same thing over and over, either motivational speaker posts that are just all fluff and serve no purpose whatsoever, or motivational posts by managers and CEOs and business owners that try to make it seem like they're just like us. And it's usually with these horrible messages. So, you know, like, I'm a business owner and I skipped my child's birth because I wanted to be there for a business meeting. And that's how much I love this company and its employees. And it's like, no, that's how much you suck at being a spouse and a parent. Like, why would we celebrate this? Or another one where it's like, we're always going to be competitive because we outsource our work. So we don't have to worry about unemployment insurance, and we can pay $5 an hour and all these things. And that's what makes us great. And it's like, no, that just makes you a miserable, miserable employer. I don't understand. But it's like, I feel like at this point, all these managers and CEOs are competing to see who can make the most outlandish post that people will still get behind. Because you have so many of the bootlickers that are like, oh my God, that's great. That's a great message for the employees. You care so much. It's like, no, you suck. And you always will suck. And you should be ashamed of yourself for these posts. And for that LinkedIn, you had a good purpose, but now you're just like everybody else and you're canceled.
You've been canceled.
It's funny because like I'm in like this boat where like I use it as my lifeblood for work. But like you do see all these ridiculous things that you're talking about and people sharing things just to get clout. Right. And it's like, and then like the worst part about that is like folks who then connect like their Facebook, their LinkedIn and like their other social medias. And then they start using this space that was supposed to be safe and sacred and more businesslike. And it just bleeds into your social media where people are now just saying like, look at me, what's going on? Like, it's terrible. So yeah, I feel you on that. It is tough. I can't say I fully cancel it because I have to use it for work and my line of things that I'm doing, but I can understand your frustrations and where that is coming from and going.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, to be clear, like I used it recently to provide, like, this is what I've been up to the last year. And right. Some of it was personal, but it was tied into the idea that like I was able to become a better employee because I got to take an extended leave and not have to worry about,
right,
you know, going back to work and checking email and that sort of thing. So we should all do that if we have, we should make it a priority to do that. So like there was a work tie-in. But yeah, I know I get what you're saying and I'm still going to use it, but.
Well, and then there's all the new things that it's like the everybody now when they change their job has those new like graphics that are like,
oh yeah,
just got a new position, like
open
like,
to work.
Yeah, congratulations. Like, well, that I get, right? That makes sense.
The post, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that I get, but it's not necessarily those. Like those things I get. Like if you can see your network and people can see that you're hiring or you're doing that, it makes it more approachable, right? But it's the like it's the graphics that when it's like just started a new position, it's like and everyone has the canned things like
You just click the same button language.
I had to just do one the other day. So yeah. It's like, I get it because you want your network to know and not even be like, what the hell? And it's just a weird thing. But it's so funny because everybody scripts it. I'm pleased to announce. I'm blessed to announce. It's all the same thing.
And it has like this confetti and these stars and the graphics. And then you see like 37 people that just say congrats with an exclamation mark because it's one of the buttons you can click.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. But yeah, I mean, it's not going away, but
no,
it's been canceled. So I guess it's going to have to.
Might cancel one more thing now that I'm thinking about it. We're talking about social media and it's one that you may laugh about because you and I texted about this, but I'm canceling the ability for people to see things you like. I'm not going to go into the rationale for that. Led some very interesting conversations that I didn't expect to have, right? But I'm not going to go into that portion of the feature. But that sucks, man. Like, if you're just trying to, like, you can't even, like, be anonymous on the internet any day, like, when it's like, you know, not saying this is a very ridiculous example, but, like, you know, maybe Trump had a point on something that was stupid. The minute I like it, everybody in my network knows that I like something like that, and you immediately get labeled for that. Like, I feel for guys like Ray Allen, you know, like, you know, is it LeBron James? I'm like, dude's on the road, it's late, he's tired, he likes something. Everyone and their mother now knows that he likes big booty butts. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where, like, maybe, you know, in that moment, you show a moment of weakness and you're like, I like big booty butts. Like, you know, that everyone in your network now has to see that you're feeling like you like big booty butts. Like, that kind of sucks. So, that I'm canceling as well, because like that feature is like, it doesn't even make a difference what it was. People are going to judge you on your music taste, your questionable judgment late night, your sports teams. Like, it's just the fact that everyone's to see the things you like is just another, it's a ridiculous level of thing of like, you, I don't mind the fact where you click on a photo and you can see all your friends that like that or people that you follow, you can do that. Like, that makes sense, right? But the level of like seeing the likes and the things you're doing, that's a little ridiculous. And it just makes it, you know, for those of you who don't know, people can see it. So just word of advice to those, be careful what you click on in the internet. So for that, I'm canceling the like. People seeing the like feature on Instagram and other social media avenues.
You've been canceled.
Yeah, that's the thing I've always found interesting. Twitter especially, where it's like, it usually comes up in one of two ways, where it's either, wow, this is like, this is a really stupid thing to like. Just like, this is a really dumb opinion. Why would you? I'm surprised at the people that are supporting this. But then also like, wow, this person's really thirsty today.
You do you. No, yeah. You can't have those features and then be mad at people when they have burner accounts. Now I understand why people have burner accounts, right?
Like, yeah. And the most frustrating thing is like, whenever that comes up, I almost always, regardless of what it is, will hit see fewer posts like this. Like like you said, you know, you do you. I don't need to know, but especially since good old Elon took it over, like nothing works. So it's just constant.
And all the algorithms are ridiculous. Like even if you're going through like the video features, like I even want to cancel that. Like the biggest time suck now for me is watching those like Facebook videos or Instagrams where you click the reels and you just scroll through. And like, that wastes so much time and so much brain power when I'm going through it. But like, if I stop and watch one pickleball video, because I'm just trying to understand what the hell pickleball is and why people love it, now my entire algorithm has like 9 million pickleball videos. Like I could care less about pickleball videos, but like, that's all my curated content is now, is pickleball videos through those. So like, yeah, I mean, it's getting too smart and the AI is getting too ridiculous, but it's like making me, it's like having an adverse effect, not making me like it more. It's making me resent it.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, that was Canceled Corner, brought to you by the ghost of PFL Radio. And now on to one of our other featured segments that we used to do, Hot Take Super Sunday. And actually, I'm going to turn it over to Shane because he's got the spice this week, and I'm just going to kind of see where it takes us. So take it away.
So my first hot take is probably one that I don't know if it's questionable or not. So I'm interested to hear your reaction rebuttal to this statement. But I'm of the belief that Panera sucks. And I think their food's not bad. And this might also be a bias of me traveling so much for work, right? When you're on the road and you don't really have an office and your meetings are wherever you're at, there's like two logical spots that you will meet if you have in between time to go, if you don't want to sit in your hotel room, right? So you're going to look at like probably your Starbucks, right? So you'll go there and I test the boundaries of this, but one should, I can say one can only have enough cup of coffee, certain amount of cup of coffees. One should have only a certain amount of cup of coffees. I've tested that boundary way too much. But when there's times and like I can't focus and I'm jumping all over the place, the other logical scenario, or if it's later in the day, you need some food, is probably Panera. So I do frequent Panera a lot, but my issue with Panera is that like, while the food is like decent and like, you know, it feels, they give the allure that it's fresh, it is so wildly overpriced for what you get and what you do. And so like, when my employer is paying for it, you know, whatever. But like when I'm personally paying for it and like I go there for lunch and it's like $50 for a family of three, like that's ridiculous for the food that we're getting. Especially when like my daughter loves their mac and cheese because it's like the right consistency of cheesiness. Like she's got this weird thing where like melted cheese is not a good thing for her. Regular cheese, like shredded, is fine. And then the middle ground is mac and cheese on how cheesy it is. That's like her favorite restaurant, but like when they're preparing it and they're just basically pouring it out of a bag and throwing it in the microwave, like,
yep.
And I'm paying $50 for that. Like that's friggin' ridiculous. So I will say their flatbreads are good. Their soups are good, but like I'm buying them in Aldi's now. So like, it's ridiculous. Like I'm buying the microwave stuff. So like my thought process is this is while I appreciate Panera and there's a time like younger me would have hated this take, but now probably because I frequent it way too much as a dad. And it's like my daughter's number one choice for like going out to dinner. I don't want to spend it at Panera. So my hot take this week is that Panera is overrated and sucks.
Oh, I agree. There was a period, I guess, last year where I was very much dependent on soup. And it seemed initially like Panera was the easiest way to go as far as like from a logistical perspective. But then once you realize you put like two or three different soups in the cart because you want to plan out a few days, and then
right.
all of a sudden it's like $40 and you've got, you know, three or four meals out of it. And it's like, I'd rather just go for the can of Campbell's and just go for that. Now, I will say I used to love the bread bowl. Not so much anymore, but yeah, I mean, it's way overpriced for what they give you, especially like you said, when you can see them like dumping the bag of whatever it is into the microwave or like into a serving dish.
Right.
Like, you know, clearly there's not a lot of love and effort that has gone into making this. So why is it worth what I would pay at a sit down restaurant?
Yeah. There was a time that I did love it, but now it's just, I frequented it for various reasons that I can't overlook it anymore.
Oh,
not
no.
A treat.
I hear you. I think I'm going to steer olive clear of that for as long as possible. So we'll see how that goes. So, two topics here that are going to be our only sports talk of the reunion. Because it is Super Bowl week coming up. We'll save that for last. But Kyrie Irving, good old anti-vaxxer, anti-Semitic.
Flat earther.
Anti-round earther. Finally got out of town today, and he is now in Dallas with the Mavericks, which seems very, very fitting. But also, he kind of sucks.
The fifth franchise he's like run into the ground with his BS and antics. So
yeah, I mean, Cleveland, it's like, Cleveland, Boston, the Nets. I guess this will be the fourth. But yeah, it's never like
it would be more if he wasn't so bad and people were just like, I don't want to deal with this. But
right, and especially now it's like, I want to get out of here. I'm going to leave. Like, okay, well. People probably aren't going to give up a bunch for you. So good luck with that.
Right. And then like you're under contract, like your team's like stuck with you. And like, but at the same time, like you're just like, you're promising everybody all these great things. And then you're just leaving everybody to shreds and then blaming everybody else when it's clearly you are the problem. Like you've done it everywhere you've done, except for maybe Cleveland, but it was like, you wanted more. You didn't want to be Robin to Batman. When, you know, that was probably your best thing. Like this could have been a complete different story for maybe both those athletes, right? People would maybe hate LeBron a little bit less if he, you know, did stay there the second time. Like, you know, they can understand him spreading his wings, but coming back and, you know, who knows? But like both of them, I think both of them didn't realize how good they got it, right? But now it's like this guy is an absolute cancer. Every team he goes, like he comes in with all this hope. People love him. He says the right thing. And then he just gets like, he leaves it like completely like burning to flames when he goes out. Like, what is it? Like it's like Bane or like a Joker. Or whatever,
oh yeah.
Like,
right, the Joker.
Him, like the meme, right? Where everything's just on fire. Like, it's right. Like, whatever. Like that is his persona, right? It's just ridiculous. Like the guy used to be a ungodly talent. Now it's like to the point where like the talent is not worth the crazy or the production or whatever else you're doing. And then the weird stances he takes is just, it's just asinine. So as a former Nets fan, cause I still have an issue with them leaving from New Jersey. Like that's, you know, that was one of the New Jersey teams. So if I had to root for NBA, I don't because I hate it, but like that was a team I kind of somewhat follow. I would be glad that he's just gone because it's just not worth the headache. But it's just like, who's going to keep putting up with this guy? And like, what does he ultimately want? Like, he's finally going to eventually get maybe reunited with LeBron James down the road. And they're just all going to be like 35, like 37 to 38, 39. Like, that's not going to work out for anybody. So
that's
the worst. He's got to go down as like the worst possible teammate in the history of sports. He's got to be in that conversation.
That's the fascinating thing about it. Like, I know that when you're talented, you get more opportunities than somebody who's not as talented. However, like when you've seen the story play out three times before, like why would you commit to experiencing it yourself knowing that it's likely going to end the same way? Like, I mean, you know, when you were Boston, I get it. You know, he said he wanted out because he didn't want to play with LeBron anymore. Okay, great. We don't have LeBron. Come here and play. waxed all that poetic about how, you know, I'm gonna be here forever and we're gonna win a championship. And then after one season, he was like, hey, actually, deuces. And then goes to New Jersey. And it's like, okay, well, now you've got him with Kevin Durant and eventually James Harden. And
which then, both of them wanted.
Right. So it was like, okay, so now we're in a great place. And then all of a sudden, on top of the other dumb stuff that he did, it's like, okay, actually, no, I want to get out of here too. So, you know, if you haven't been happy, I mean, Boston's kind of its own beast. We won't get into that. But like, if you're not happy in New Jersey or Brooklyn, where you had everything that you ever wanted, like what he's not going to be happy anywhere. And it, you're deceiving yourself if you think that it's going to work out. Though I will say I am excited that of the possibilities of the stuff he'll get into in Texas, especially in Dallas with the grassy knoll and the JFK assassination. Right. Probably get a bunch of memes around that.
And it's going to be very interesting watching him like work with like what is probably one of the more promising stars in the NBA right now, Luka Doncic. Like, how's that going to play out? Like,
yeah,
you're going to be, unfortunately, Robin again. Like, are you okay with that?
Yeah, very much Robin now.
But I mean, it was just funny. Like, you know, they traded a first round pick for 2029. You're not even going to see it like 6 years from now. But it's like, I mean, you're looking at like the worst possible teammates. Like, you know, I take Aaron Hernandez over him.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I will say that he
I mean, it's like he's up there. I mean, like, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, Aaron Hernandez, awful human being, teammate probably better. Like, it's not like
Jesus, that is a hot take.
To be honest, like, I would say Ray Caruth, but like, you know, Ray Caruth is an ultimate teammate, right, in some people's minds. So
I won't go there, but I will say that I lost my train of thought there. I will say,
going for, so it worked out in my favor, but
he's definitely one of those folks that like he wants to give the impression that he's really, really smart. But when you actually listen to the stuff he's saying, it's like, no, he's not at all. Like, say a bunch of words and use a bunch of big things and people think that you're some philosopher. And then when you get down to it, you realize he's saying the earth is flat or that all the stuff about everything else he's gone out about. It's like, no, he's actually pretty ignorant in the grand scheme.
He's a real a-hole.
Yeah, that too. I did love his, basically he went for the Rick James defense after his anti-Semitic rant, where like in his first press conference right before he got suspended, where he was like, you know, I have a real opportunity and as a celebrity, I have a platform to really shape everyone's minds and be influential. And then like 30 seconds later, he's talking about, you know, I'm just one guy. Like I don't have an influence over anybody. So it's kind of like that. I never grind my feet on Eddie Murphy's couch. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch. It's just like that level of, you know, he'll speak something and then ultimately contradict himself in the very next sentence. But glad the Hornets don't have him.
Yeah, I'm glad the Nets don't either. I mean, got good riddance.
Yep. So not so much a hot take, but Super Bowl week is here. It's the end of the football season. You had a fairly enjoyable season with your Giants. And I
borrowed money, man. I'm all about borrowed money at the time. Like when, you know, you're not supposed to be good, but you're really good and you make the playoffs. Like, you know, part of you as a Giants fan, you're like, oh, well, you're just, you know, ruining your draft pick status. But at the same time, like confident in leadership, confident in the cap situation now that we've corrected from the worst possible scenario, which I know you can understand. The Gettleman curse, but yeah, no, future is looking bright. I'm a big fan of Dave's. Guy likes D's nuts jokes, so sign me up for a coach that's like the king of D's nuts jokes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm lot to like. Finally, to have confidence in future, and like things to be excited, but be very interesting to see what they do next year with some of the big ticket items they have to decide, make decisions on.
Oh, for sure. Meanwhile, things are still continuing to be dark in Carolina. Bunch of draft picks though, so we'll see how that goes. But it is the Super Bowl, so it's Kansas City and Philadelphia. Don't want to spend too much time on it because I don't really have a vested interest in the game, but Who do you think is going to pull it out? I know who you want to pull it out, but
yeah, that's the problem. Is like who I want to pull out is, you know, I want the Chiefs to find a way, and it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes, and you want to believe in that. It's just I don't see the receivers or the consistency. I mean, their defense is not bad. I like Andy Reid, so there's some extra motivation with Andy Reid going against his like former franchise. But Julian Love made a take this week where it was like, it's not Sirianni's that good of a coach. He's just literally coaching a ridiculous roster, which I don't disagree with that thought process a little bit. I mean, I think, you know, the guy, there is something to be said about pulling all the right strings and things like that. So I don't want to say he's an incompetent coach, Sirianni. I'm just not a fan. But that's probably a super biased take on that regard. But I mean, just top to bottom, I mean, they just have a lot of studs. And like, as much as I want to hate everybody on the Eagles franchise, there is a few guys you kind of root for. Like Jalen Hurts kind of got a raw deal. So like, as much as I don't want to like the guy because he's the quarterback of like one of the teams, if not the team I hate the most, you got to respect the guy who just kind of been overlooked, made his own success, has been a stand-up guy and a model leader. So like, that's hard not to root for. So that's the only thing where I was like, if they win, I'll be like, yeah, good for that guy. But like the rest of the team can go kind of fly a kite in my books. So I would hope the Chiefs can find a way to pull it out. But if I was betting on this, which I might, because it's legal now in our area, I might throw some things on the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to pull it off. I just think Mahomes is going to play otherworldly, and I think that Andy Reid is going to scheme up some things that we haven't seen before. And I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. But yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to somehow pull it off. We'll see.
I hope you're right, man. Spags finds a way in Super Bowls. I'm a big Spags fan, so
yeah. Well, we'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll definitely get this out before that, so we'll actually have predictions on record. And I promise I won't edit it like the national championship last time. So that's we will fun. See. All right. So switching gears here. So it is 2023, which means it's time soon for another Fast and the Furious movie, Fast 10. Supposedly the end of the era, which it definitely will not be, but they're portraying it as such. You going to see it?
I mean, are we in the trust tree here?
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched really past two or three. Like, I joke around about it with you, and I know you love it, but I think I've watched one, and I enjoyed it. I watched two. Some Tokyo Drift I watched a little bit of. Like, if they're on, I'll catch a little bit and see if I get interested in it. But it's like those ones that are, it's always on FX, so I always get it like halfway through, and then I'm right. Like, eh, not really that vested in it. So I won't.
I'll be honest. Okay, that's fair. That's won't. Fair.
But, you know, I don't know. At some point, maybe when it's all done, I'll go through the trilogy, and I'll pretend like I know the memes and stuff. But I'll let you take this segment on this one, because like, yeah, I've to be full disclosure, I will rewatch the first one numerous times because I liked that one. It was at a very, we're the same age, so you know, it was that was the thing, right? It was awesome when we were in high school,
right?
So but then the others just kind of like, eh.
So see, here's the thing though, and I've been thinking about this more and more, like people rip on it because it's getting more and more ridiculous with the stunts they're doing and things like that, and how it doesn't make sense. But as I really started to reflect on it, it really occurred to me that there were several like actual themes that were coming up across the different movies, like actual stories to be told and actual messages that came across and really sink in if you pay attention to it. So with that, to get folks hyped for Fast 10, I thought I'd put together the top five recurring themes from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Hit it with us.
All right, we're starting with number five. I got some fanfare ready. Let's see if this works. Family.
Ta-da!
So Dom has an unwavering loyalty to his family, particularly his sister. I think it's Mia. He's very protective of her in the first movie when Brian takes an interest in her. And then later on in the series, when she tries to get involved with the with their operations. Dom is hesitant to do so. And the reason for that is because he loves her so much. He doesn't want anything bad to happen to her. And that's what family is about.
Right.
Number four, family.
Ta-da!
So the series touches on complicated aspects of family as well, particularly in Fast 9, when we learn about his brother Jacob reappearing after leaving town shortly after the death of their father. Dom learns that the relationship amongst family can be very complicated at times, and that many things can be done out of love, even when you don't understand it. So that's family. All right, number three. Family.
Ta-da!
In Fate of the Furious, Dom learns about his long-lost son, Brian. Despite never having known him, he risks everything to try and prevent harm from coming to him. The movie plays into the idea that you can protect your family at all costs, even the family that you barely know. How are you feeling so far? Do you feel like you're learning something here?
I am. I'm definitely, I might want to guess the next one, though.
No, that'll take the fun out of it.
I thought it'd be Ice-T.
Oh, man, if only he was in it. No, he was on the outside looking in. But number two is family.
Ta-da!
So we've talked about Dom's sister, his brother, and his son. But what about his friends, you know? Dom doesn't have much of a biological family that we know of or much of a relationship with them. But he more than makes up with it with his friends, taking ride or die to brand new levels. Dom would risk his life for anybody, except for The Rock. And as he famously said, when you're here, you're family. Wait a second. Wait, no. That's Olive Garden, my bad. He said, I would have friends. I have family. So number two is family. And number one, you want to take a guess at what it is? Got a drum roll?
I want to be surprised.
All right, the number one theme in the Fast and the Furious franchise, defying logic and science.
Ta-da!
Most of the early movies have been about fast cars and Nas. Now, I know jack shit about those things, so maybe it's realistic, maybe it's not. It's not for me to know. But I am smart enough to be able to know that even The Rock cannot physically redirect a submarine torpedo with one arm. And I also know that a car can't fly into space, even if you have Tyrese and Ludacris steering it. And now as we get up to Fast 10, we have Aquaman joining the mix. So I'm just excited to see what ridiculous, not a suspension of disbelief, but an elimination of disbelief they're going to come up with this time. So number one theme, defying all logic and all science. So with that, those are your top five recurring themes from the Fast and the Furious franchise. You'll probably see those all in Fast 10 as well.
Well played. Well played, my friend.
Thank you. All right. So we are at our...
I was hoping you appreciate the Ice-T callback, though.
Yes. I do love some Ice-T. He is in pretty much every movie you can think of. I'm actually surprised he hasn't shown up in the Fast franchise yet. I need to push for that. Unless he's like Team Rock. That might explain it. All right. So we're at the end of the show. We decided... in the spirit of the big game, that we were going to embrace a topic that is people have very passionate opinions about. The chicken or the egg, as some might say. But it comes down to, what is your favorite dip for wings? Is it ranch or is it blue cheese? Shane, I'm going to let you start with this very important social issue.
I mean, I'm biased because of where I live now. I'm only a stone throw away from Buffalo. I was actually in Buffalo yesterday to hang out with some friends and had some local fanfare and some cuisine. The wings, they are delicious. They just hit harder down there. If we're looking at the preeminent Buffalo wing, hot sauce, mild sauce, whatever your take is on that spicy cayenne pepper based sauce, Frank's Red Hot, whatever you like. For me, it's blue cheese. It's blue cheese. It's got to be. Like, there's nothing that hits better than that. I'm not super upset if I have to have ranch. Like, it's not like, oh my God, my wings are ruined. It's a great condiment. does play well with that, and throwing a little hot sauce and some ranch is a great thing and a great mix. But it's not the same as blue cheese with that chunks. Big. I'm a drums guy, not a flats, but
absolutely,
to each their own. But having a big drum all like bulgy, then having some blue cheese with some extra bulges on that, that's my thing. So if you're looking at other flavors, we can debate which tastes better. But if you're doing a buffalo wing and dipping that in something, for me, it's got to be blue cheese. And there's no question.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, actually. I guess this, for us, that won't be much of a debate. Given the choice, always go blue cheese. If you're talking buffalo chicken dip, then ranch is the better play for me. I think it just mixes together well, and I love buffalo chicken dip. But if you're talking about like actual buffalo wings, then absolutely blue cheese. I'm also of the mindset that, you know, if they don't have blue cheese and ranch is the only thing available, I can live with it. It's not like the Coke versus Pepsi where like you can't just sub one out and expect to be okay. I could be fine with ranch. I know Amanda is very passionate about blue cheese in that regard. And I think if I ever tried to sneak in ranch, it would be possibly a cause for divorce. But yeah, I'm all for blue cheese in that sense. So clearly we agree on this, but we thought it would be good to reach out to some voices from the past, as well as maybe a new one, to get them to weigh in to see what their thoughts are. Now, Shane got some people to pre-record some stuff. I did too. We have not seen any of these. He's probably seen his, I've seen mine, but it's going to be a surprise to the other person. So I'm going to, if it's okay with you, I'm going to dive into yours first and see what we have.
Are we doing my three, then your three, or go every other?
Let's do yours and then mine.
Okay.
So we'll start with the first one. Curious to see who that is. It looks like a video.
So you can play it first, or you want me to lead into who it is?
Let me just be surprised.
All right.
See here, always.
Hey guys, what's going on? Shane Michael. And Michael, what's going on, guys? So you posed a question for your reunion show, and that would be something to the effect of blue cheese or ranch. I'm going to go with some blue cheese all day, every day. Blue cheese, especially for wings. It's great for dipping. Bread, pizza crust. Look, blue cheese goes great on a salad. Blue cheese all day, every day. However, I will throw a little amendment in there that there was some Chipotle ranch that I had from this new pizza joint the other day. It was pretty good. I know that doesn't qualify as ranch. It was a mix, but it was really good. But I'm a blue cheese guy through and through, especially some good old Clemson blue cheese. Enjoy it, guys. Miss you guys. Have a great show. Hope to talk to you all soon.
All right, Price weighing in.
It was a reunion show. A reunion show without our first ever guest.
I appreciate it, though I am a little concerned he did this while driving, it appears.
We've been going back and forth. I had to send a reminder, so I think we got it in under the wire. But Price did say he would never let us down, and he did not disappoint, as always.
But also, I'm assuming he's in South Carolina while filming this, so they probably don't even have laws against that sort of thing anyway.
I mean, could be, or he's filming curling somewhere. So, you know, you never know where he's at.
That's fair. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Price. Good to hear from you. Shout, we definitely miss you.
We got to get a back cut. If we do this again or do some reunion shows, it's always good to cut it up with our man Price. So
yeah,
respect. He plays a big role in the S&M legacy. For sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Number two, anything you want to say about this one?
This one was audio. I gave the preference of what it was, and it was about the time, but it is another. I went back down memory lane. I was going, my theme was reunion show, so I went down the memory lane side of this, but the next one is getting a lot of buzz on Twitter these days for another spicy hot take. So he brought you awesome ones like, is a hot dog a sandwich? But his new hot fire take is, what type of pen hits hardest and is the all-time iconic pen? And it's been getting lots and lots of buzz on shows, sports writers, sports folks on Twitter. Barstool's stealing it, so you know it's big, right? And they're not even giving him credit on it. I had to shoot him a note saying Barstool's not giving you credit. So that if you don't know that, we'll let it hear him. He'll say it. We'll see what's going on. But I figured you'd appreciate this one as well.
I know who it is. I can't wait to hear it.
Hello, everybody. I've been asked to weigh in on the all-time debate of blue cheese versus ranch. I haven't thought of this much recently, so I'm just going to wing this. Get it? Wing it. Anyway, listen, my thoughts here are pretty simple. If we're talking buffalo wings, buffalo tenders, nugs, I'm going blue cheese all day, every day. It's iconic. Go together like spaghetti and meatballs, lamb and tuna fish, Siskel and Ebert. I mean, it's hard to think of eating wings, buffalo wings, with anything else other than blue cheese. I will say, though, if you bring other foods into the equation, that's, I think, where ranch comes in as the superior choice. I think ranch has the ability to be involved with more foods than blue cheese. You know, salads, that's a wash. Vegetables, I'm going ranch. Pizza, I'm going ranch. You know, so I do think ranch has more potential if you call in other food groups. But as it relates to wings, blue cheese is superior. Appreciate you all giving me this avenue to express my very well thought out opinions on this topic. And good luck with the discussion.
All right, Chris Grassi, social media star from Penn State University.
He's killing it. Great follow. If you guys are not following him on Twitter, he's always posing some great questions that get some great fan engagement. So he's doing big things over in over at Penn State. So I expected nothing less, but he was gracious enough. So thank you, Chris, for weighing in on this one.
Yeah, that Penn tweet has blown up. I'm not shocked, but I am shocked.
Yeah, it's awesome just watching to see all the people that were there. And like, I shot him a note because like Barstool had it on, like they did a whole debate on it and then gave him no credit. And I was like, I sent it to him. He's like, dude, I didn't even see this. So it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you know you've made it, when Barstool steals your stuff.
There you go. One day, my friend, one day.
Yep, we can only hope. All right. Tell me about your third one.
So the third one, I joked around on this, is a Hail Mary. But the reason why I did the Hail Mary is this is someone who will go down in, Pals for Life lore. And so with this, we may have alluded to it, I think, early on one of our first episodes, but when we started this website and we started the email account, we got one email to our account that was not one that we solicited ourselves.
Oh my God.
So there was one email account that we got in. It was like our first week that we were doing this. And it was a guy who found us on the internet as a radio station, because we were broadcasting ourselves as an internet radio station. So it was basically said, you know, hey, I'm a new up and coming artist. I play some gospel music. Would you please play your show, your radio, our show? We weren't serious. We weren't know what was going on. Our format wasn't yet there. It was an internet radio station. It was curated. So we didn't really even know we had an internet email account. So we didn't know what to do. And I apologized to this individual for not responding to his email. But it's a man named Tyron Lee Ingram, who is an aspiring gospel artist out of Salt Lake City. So I decided when we were thinking about this and we were doing this reunion show, what we were building on, I figured let's give it a shot and see if I can reach out to him. So I found him on Instagram. I shot him a note. Shout out to Tyron Lee Ingram. He was awesome. He gave me a video. The video is not very long, but you know, the intro is probably longer than the video, but he was very responsive. He got back to me, he shot me an email. So check out his stuff. He's got a lot of things going on, a lot more music since the last time we were there, but you know, I Will Praise the Lord is his number one song that we had first. And he asked us to play on it. So, shout out to Tyron for sending me a video. So let's hear how he weighs in.
Yep. Oh my God.
I'll say blue cheese. I'll say blue cheese.
Okay, blue cheese it is. All right, we're gonna have to throw a link to his artist profile and like the bio or something for that.
Yeah, so. He got back to me. He shot me a text. He sent me the video via this and via email. So shout out to Tyra. The first time he sent it was Instagram, and it was one of those expiring videos. So he did reply back. I sent him an email. He gave back to me. So I figured we had to reach out. So. Thank you, Tyron, and I appreciate you being a good sport.
We have come full circle with this now, so everything that is old is new again. Okay, well, I certainly can't top that, but I kind of went in a different direction. Well, I guess one is a throwback reference. The other one is more of a throwback to our younger days as high school / college students. So I was perusing Cameo, like I sometimes do for these things. Most bang for your buck, if you will. And the person I saw was actually on special. And when I saw it, I had to because I'm trying to think how to put this. You know, wings are a very American sort of thing. So I figured what better way or what better person to weigh in other than the last person than a true American hero. So with that.
Hey, Mike and Shane, how are you? It's your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. And I hear you want me to settle a debate. Okay, here it goes. What do I prefer, ranch or blue cheese? And why? Well, I prefer neither because they both suck and so do you. Ha ha ha. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you following my career at WWE and TNA. That is awesome, my friends. Take care and God bless. And guess what? I actually like blue cheese. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Didn't expect that, did you?
No. I remember we did eat, like, when we talked our way into backstage passes, like, somewhat catty-cornered from him. But
yeah, he walked briefly. into the catering area. That was fun. Those were good days. But yeah, WWE Hall of Famer, TNA Hall of Famer, Olympic hero Kurt Angle also prefers blue cheese.
We should have only found the Southern MILF. That would have been the only thing that would have topped that.
Oh God, I forgot about her. I don't even remember her name, but
I could Google her description. We could probably find it.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, so we've had various people weigh in from our past and from our childhood, and with this sort of thing, you kind of need an official ruling. So we figured, what better way to pay tribute to this experience, but also get an official ruling than by Pals for Life officiating expert, Dean Blandino, who came in under the wire. I was actually worried that I wouldn't make it here in time because Fox and Super Bowl week, but he came through. I have not watched this myself, so this will be a surprise to both of us. So here we go. It's going to be a fun ride.
Hey, it's Dean Blandino from Fox Sports here answering the universe's greatest questions. We've already determined that a hot dog is not a sandwich. It's just not. If your buddy asks you, hey, go get me a sandwich. You're not going to bring them a hot dog, okay? It's just not going to happen. We've decided that Backstreet Boys is the superior boy band over NSYNC. It's not even questioned. Just turn on I Want It That Way. There's your answer. End of argument. And now, in honor of the big game, the people have spoken and they want to know, ranch or blue cheese and why? I mean, this ranch or blue cheese, it's as old as the chicken or the egg. And there's a lot of debate. This is hotly debated. There are people that are passionate about this on both sides of the argument. So let's break it down. So ranch dressing. And ranch was was created in the 1950s by Steve Henson, who created this dressing to make lunch better for his workers. And so he created this creamy dressing that was going to make lunch more filling, and then he'd have happier workers, and then they would work better for him. So ranch is, you know, the basic ingredients. Buttermilk is your basic consistency. Buttermilk, garlic, mayonnaise, onion, mustard, lots of herbs and spices like dill and parsley. It is the most popular salad dressing in the country. It's a very versatile dressing. Now, as we think about blue cheese has a very similar consistency. When you break it down, the difference between ranch and blue cheese, it's not, they are very, very close cousins. And the biggest difference with blue cheese is that it has the additional ingredient of its namesake, blue cheese. And so where you have the buttermilk base for ranch, blue cheese is the key ingredient, the key differentiator between blue cheese and ranch dressing. Now, blue cheese, right, is something that, again, created in the United States. It's certainly not as popular as ranch. It is not as versatile as ranch. And so when you come down to it, you think about, okay, forget about salad dressing. This is not an argument about salad dressing. You want to put ranch on your salad? Fine. Great. All good. We don't care. We're talking about the big game. And if you're telling your friends, hey, I'm getting a bunch of food for the big game, and you're asking them, hey, can you get me an arugula salad with ranch? You're not invited to the party anymore. You're out. Okay. So we're not talking about a salad. What are we talking about? We're talking about chicken wings. We're talking about hot wings, spicy wings, mild wings, barbecue wings, whatever you like. But that's what we're talking about. Talking about the big game, we're going to eat wings. And when it comes to wings, right, where is the birthplace of chicken wings? Well, the birthplace of chicken wings is in Buffalo, right? That's why they call them Buffalo wings, at the world-famous Anchor Bar. So the world-famous Anchor Bar in 1964, right? So Teresa Bellissimo, who is the patron saint of the chicken wing, we should always just bow down. Okay. She had some leftover chicken, and her son and his friends, it was a late night. They came back to the bar and they were hungry, and she threw some leftover chicken, made some wings, put some hot sauce on it, and voila, we created the Buffalo wing. And we've been eating them and enjoying them for years and years and years. And again, Teresa, thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. Now, what dressing did they use at the Anchor Bar? Okay. Did they use ranch dressing? No, they did not. They used blue cheese. Okay. So if you go to people from Western New York, where the birthplace of the Buffalo wing, and you ask for ranch, if you go to the Anchor Bar and you ask for ranch on your dressing, they're going to kick you out of the bar. Okay. You're no longer going to be a person that's going to be able to go to the bar. So let's put that check mark for blue cheese right there. Now let's think about just ranch itself. It's not a very, it does have better cooling properties. So if you're eating a very, very hot wing, okay, then ranch will cool it down more than the blue cheese. So that's a check mark for ranch. But again, people put ranch on pizza. Okay, anybody that puts ranch on pizza, I can't be friends with you. I could get past a lot of things. I could get past, you know, whatever. You're a Cowboy fan. I could get past a lot of things. But if we're gonna go out to my favorite pizzeria, and you ask for a side of ranch, and I watch you dip your pizza in the ranch, it's over. I've ended relationships. I've ended family relationships. I've ended personal relationships over this. So don't even come at me with this ranch on pizza stuff. It's gross. It's disgusting. Okay. So we're 1-1 right now. Okay. But now, ranch is it's like I said, it's versatile. It has good cooling properties, but it's like, ranch is like your cousin that he would always be there on Thanksgiving, but he was kind of weird and he sat in the corner. It's just kind of there. Okay. Blue cheese is like that uncle that is funny. He's, you know, maybe gets a little drunk, maybe gets a little crazy, but he's got that blue cheese, that tang, that kick, that, you know, it's just the chunk, the sweet chunk of blue cheese that goes so great with that wing, whether it's a drumstick, whether it's a flat. I mean, and that blue, it's just the blue cheese are the Backstreet Boys. Ranch is the NSYNC. So you know where I'm going with this. And I'm not going to, the final verdict, okay? And you know where I'm going, but the final verdict, I'm gonna leave it to my man, Anthony Wasio Jr. Anthony Wasio at Wasio on Twitter. He tweeted in one of the many online debates about ranch and blue cheese. And I thought he summed it up perfectly. Summed it up perfectly in his tweet. And you can go follow my man, Anthony, because he is, this guy knows what he's talking about. And he summed it up perfectly when he said, blue cheese is for grown-ups. Ranch is for kids. And that's it. Okay, so take your ranch dressing, go home, give me some blue cheese, give me some hot wings. Let's enjoy the big game. I don't know who's going to win, Eagles or Chiefs, but I know I'm going to be sitting there eating my chicken wings with my blue cheese, laughing at everybody who's dipping their pizza in ranch. That's it. I've spoken. Blue cheese wins over ranch. Take care, everyone.
There we go. Blue cheese it is.
He's the best.
He is.
He always delivers.
Yeah, he just has a way of doing these things where it's like, he just makes it entertaining. Especially like the drunk uncle at Thanksgiving being ranch. I love it.
For a lot of things, being a Cowboys fan. I love the digs.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw something on online. It was like an article about who provides the best value cameos, like the most popularity for the cost. And he's like top 10 for sports personalities, and
he's got to be.
Absolutely. Gotta be. Absolutely.
He does his homework. He doesn't joke around about it. Like it's great.
Yeah. I love it. Well, that was fun. I didn't expect it to be as one-sided as it was, but I'm glad that we're all in agreement that blue cheese is the way to go.
I mean, that's the thing. And I think a few of the guys touched on this. I mean, the thing is like if it's in the focus of buffalo wings, hot wings, it's blue cheese. If you're getting a little crazy with some of your toppings and sauces, then maybe you can get a little bit more where it's a little bit of a debate. But like if it's an overall superior condiment, like blue cheese is for your black and blue burgers, it's for your chicken wings, it's for some salad, but like that's about it. Ranch is way more versatile. You can mix it with more things. You can add it. So like that's where it gets to be where it's like, oh, if there's a greater condiment, then I can understand the debate where people will sit on that. But in my mind, in the eyes of blue cheese versus ranch and chicken wings, there's no competition.
Yeah. Well, there we are. We've reached the end of our journey. This is fun, man. Yeah, for sure.
Been too long.
Yeah, maybe we should do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's see what the people say, and let's figure out some sort of rotation where getting our lives under control again with our new norms. And I'd be up for doing this every once in a while
for sure. But that reminds me, before we go, let me bring something up here real quick. It seems only fitting that we end our journey on this note. I can find it. All right. So let me get this going one more time. Obviously, I'm going to edit this part out. So one of the things that did happen over the last year and a half is that Tom Brady retired. Then Tom Brady unretired. Then Tom Brady got divorced. Then Tom Brady... Well, his team had a really crappy season, and then he retired again. So in honor of the Super Bowl, in honor of six-time champion Tom Brady and his 25-whatever-year career, we thought it was best to revisit a discussion we had over 15 years ago about who is Tom Brady. So here we go.
Once you meet with a TurboTax expert who will do your taxes for you,
whoops.
You're free to do, not
that. Let's switch to the right account. Oh, I'm not logged into that. All right, whatever. Well,
today we're here to honor your legacy.
Hello and welcome to Who is Tom Brady? I'm Mike Bowers.
And I'm Shane Ryan. Mike, who is Tom Brady?
He is still a giant and retired douche. Thank you and good night.